Welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast. This week, we're going to be talking about whether or not editing is cheating. So let's get into it.
Welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast, a weekly podcast for those who believe that moments matter most and that a beautiful photo is more than just a sum of its settings. A show for those who want to do more with the gear they have to take better photos today. And now, your host, Raymond Hatfield.
Is editing cheating? Oh man, welcome back to this week's episode of the Beginner Photography Podcast. As always, I am Raymond Hatfield. I'm your host. I'm a wedding photographer here in Indianapolis, and I am so excited to have you here today because editing is a real thing that we need to be talking about. It's very split when it comes to new photographers, the idea of editing and figuring out the role that it has in your photography as well. And that is what it is that we are going to be talking about today. So before I get started, I want to share a story about editing specifically. When I first got started with digital photography, I was coming from this world of film cinematography, right? So if you don't know, I went to film school to be a cinematographer, and then after the fact, I became a photographer. So in the world of cinematography, getting it right in camera is of the utmost importance because you, as the cinematographer, are not the one editing the film. Somebody else is. So the closer that you get it right in camera means that nobody else is going to be in charge of changing your vision, right? You know how you want this film to come out. You shoot it that way. And then it's good, right? So you were in charge of everything. You were in charge of your film stock, which is just the film that you use in the camera. And each film stock has differences in color, in light rendition, in contrast. You were in charge of your lighting sources in terms of size, the distance away from the subject, the intensity, and even the color of your lighting. You know, you would know as well what the action, whatever's going to happen in front of the camera, you know what that action is going to be, exactly where the people are going to move. And then once you figure that out, you would then build your lighting around them, as well as your camera movements and your lens choice all around that, right? So you know the script, you know the action, you know exactly what is going to happen. You can control your environment. And in most cases, I would say in all cases of major motion pictures, you spend, as a cinematographer, months preparing for your shoot. So you are in complete control. You have no reason to not be in complete control. And if the film doesn't turn out exactly the way that you wanted it, then you, as a cinematographer, had no excuse for it not to be. It would just simply be a lack of experience, right? If you know what's going to happen, if you know your lights, if you know your camera, you know everything, then you can build a scene, an image, exactly how you want it to happen, okay? That is what I was taught, because that is how it worked. So then, you know, time moves along a little bit, and I pick myself up a digital Canon XT, right? That was my first digital SLR camera. I was so excited. And I thought to myself, I'm coming from this world of cinematography where getting it right in camera is so important. I'm going to get everything right in camera. That is exactly how I'm going to treat my digital photography, because I thought photography is photography. Film photography, digital photography, all that we're doing is just capturing light. So I have no excuse for it not to be perfect here. And I mean, like, I wanted perfect photos. I was in charge of the camera, so I wanted to prove my skill and my talent. That is what I wanted out of my photography. I wanted my photography to show my skill and talent to then be able to, you know, potentially book motion pictures. So that's how I thought. But quickly, after I got my digital Canon XT, I realized that getting it right in camera and editing are two entirely different things when it comes to photography. Two entirely different things. Now, as photographers, we don't spend the same amount of time preparing as much as we once did for a shoot. rarely would you ever go out and just, you know, when you were shooting film, just take several hundred photos on a whim like we do today with digital photography. Now, this isn't going to be a film versus digital, you know, photography episode. I'm simply highlighting some key differences here just to set up my next point. So when shooting film, every time you hit that shutter button, you spent money, because not only did you have to buy the film, but then there was also the development costs as well as the prints. So we were more intentional with our photos because you had to be, and that's a good thing. But we also took less chances with our photos for that exact same reason. And that is a bad thing. Now today, I truly think that we live in one of the most wonderful times to be alive as a photographer. Now several weeks ago, I went down to Imaging USA, the convention down in Nashville put on by the PPA. And I was walking around the trade show floor, and I was looking at all these vendors, and I thought to myself, wow, there are so many vendors that would not have been here 10 or 15 years ago. And that's because of digital technology. We now have a million more tools at our disposal. Maybe 2 million tools, I don't know. We have a lot more tools at our disposal as we did as film photographers when we were shooting film. But we need to think back to the core of what photography is. What are we doing? And I think that earlier when I said that, you know, film photography, digital photography, it's all the same thing, we're just recording light. This is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the core of photography. I'm not talking about the practice of the photography itself. I'm talking about the core of the photography. What are we doing? As photographers, we're just trying to tell a story. That's all that we're doing. So whether it be the warmth that a child feels when they hug their parent, or the hope that a senior feels, you know, in their eyes before they embark on this next phase of their life, or the tears of joy that a parent has while watching their child exchange their wedding vows. Every photo tells a story. So every photo, no matter if it's the human condition, like my previous examples there, or the beauty that you see in the shape of light, or the pain of destruction. Every photo tells a story. Now this means, now listen to me. This means you are the author. You are the storyteller. Let me say that again. You are the author. You are the storyteller. It is your duty as a photographer to simply tell the best story that you can. And this includes using all of the tools available at your disposal. All right, let's flash back 20, 30 years when photographers were still shooting film. Their job was not over the moment that they clicked the shutter button just because there was no Adobe Lightroom or Photoshop. No, their job wasn't over. And I don't mean like, oh, they just had to pack out their bags and, you know, whatever. Once their shoot was over, now they had to get to work by getting in the dark room. And when developing your photos, even with film, you could still make a photo brighter or darker, just in how long the film was in the developing chemicals. You can control the color with the use of different chemicals. You could darken or dodge the exposure of the sky to bring it down a little bit. You could increase the exposure or burn the exposure of your subject's face, making them brighter. And then in the printing, you could adjust your crop, your tilt. You could distort an image. You could rotate an image. You could even remove objects to your heart content. They were doing all of the same things that we can do today in Adobe Lightroom. Why were they doing these things? Why were they doing these things? They were doing these things because the choices that they made were meant to tell a more compelling story. Are you ready to transform your love for photography into profit? Imagine capturing beautiful moments while bringing in a little extra money for your family each month. Sound too good to be true? With CloudSpot, it's not just a dream. Designed by photographers for photographers, CloudSpot simplifies your business. Effortlessly organize shoots, send professional contracts, questionnaires, invoices, and enjoy faster payment payouts with the lowest fees in the industry, including PayPal. Forget lost emails and messy spreadsheets. CloudSpot offers a streamlined workflow, letting you focus on the moment. And here is the clincher. Grab your free CloudSpot account at deliverphotos.com and you'll get access to my personal wedding and portrait contracts and questionnaires. So don't let uncertainty hold you back. Embrace the future of photography business management with CloudSpot Studio. Sign up at deliverphotos.com today and transform your passion into profit. Now, if making decisions to change the final appearance of a photo is cheating, then we as photographers have been cheating for more than a century. And I'm not just talking about in the developing process. It starts when the camera's in our hand. Because how many times have I changed a frame so that I didn't include a distracting sign? How many times have I asked a couple to turn to the left so that the sun wouldn't be hitting them directly in the face and, you know, create a harsh line? How many times have I used a telephoto lens to compress the image or a large aperture to blur out the background so that it's out of focus? How many times have I done that? How many times have you done that? Why do you do it? Because that sign takes away from the focus of that beautiful sunset that you're capturing. Because the out-of-focus background brings the attention to your subject's face. It's not cheating. You're simply using the tools available to you to tell the best story that you can. And editing is no different. There are so many photographers who fail with editing. And this is because the way that they're looking at editing is simply a way to fix mistakes or errors that they made while shooting. And I can tell you that that is just simply not the case. I'll say what I said earlier. Getting it right in camera and editing are two different things. Editing is not fixing mistakes. Now, while you can do that, sure, there's no denying that. The real power in editing is putting your stamp on a photo, is putting your signature on your photo. And I don't mean literally writing your signature, but I mean in the way that you see light, the way that you see colors, the way that, you know, the sky looked on a certain occasion. But because the physical limitations of your camera sensor, you simply couldn't capture it correctly in your camera. All of the world's best photographers still edit their images for that exact reason. I mean, you don't think that they know how to shoot? You don't think that they know how to use their camera? Of course they do. Of course they do. That'd be ridiculous. They've been shooting for, you know, 20, 30 years. Of course they know how to use their camera. The editing is their signature that allows them to tell the story that they want to tell in the way that they want to tell it. They're the storyteller, creating raving fans who cannot get enough of their work. And because of this editing process, on top of their skills as a photographer, the editing process allows them to charge more for their work because they have spent years refining it. It's a way for you to discover your style, not just in your editing, but also in how you shoot. Personally, I love the sky. I love looking at the sky. I love clouds. I love, you know, the intensity of the blues at times. I love the sky. Now, nailing down my skies in editing to the way that I see them, to the way that I like them, allows me to take more photos of my couples in front of a big, beautiful sky. Editing has made me happier with my photography. It has made me a better photographer while shooting. knowing the powers of editing, knowing the purpose of editing, and knowing how to edit quickly are three of the most important skills that you can have as a photographer. Now, maybe you're thinking, Raymond, I have edited some of my photos. Why don't I feel this way as a photographer? Okay, I get that. Let me tell you a story. Storytime Raymond is back. Okay. When I first started shooting weddings, I thought that the editing would be the easiest part of the whole process, right? You get it right in camera, and what do you got to do afterwards, right? But after I shot that first wedding, and it took me more than a month to edit my first wedding, and then it was the same with my second and the third, I thought to myself, I can't do this. I would dread coming home from my day job that I had, knowing that I would have to come home just to keep editing photos, right? I knew I had to figure something else out. I knew it. But me, personally, I was hung up on all of the different buttons, the different tabs, the different modules, the different sliders, all of the options within Lightroom. There were so many options. And to me, that meant, oh, there's so many different possibilities. I could do this, I could do that. I could try something new here. I would just get lost. But I didn't have the time to, you know, formally learn Lightroom because, you know, I had a day job, I had a spouse that I liked to spend time with, and then I had a new kid on the way. There were so many other important things in my life on my plate that learning how to use Lightroom took a back seat. I was still under the impression that getting it right in camera was the only way to shoot a wedding. So I thought, okay, if I don't have time to learn Lightroom. It took a back seat. By the way, you know, next week, things will slow down anyway, right? Then I'll have time to learn next week. Did they? No, they never did. Every week, just as busy or busier than the previous, it never slows down. You're never just sitting there thinking to yourself, oh, wait, look at this. I have a block of time. I can learn Lightroom right now. This never happens. But here I was, spending 45 minutes per photo to make sure that it was perfect, you know, quote unquote perfect. All the exposure's perfect, the color's perfect, this is a perfect photo. By the way, these same photos that I'm talking about are just an embarrassment to me today. I look at these photos and I cringe. They are not the works of art that I thought that they were when I was editing these photos. So then, okay, I told myself, you know what? Maybe Lightroom is just for professionals. Maybe I'm not cut out to be using Lightroom. And I think that it was that myth that I told myself that hurt me the most because Lightroom is just simply so much more than just editing your photos. The real power of Lightroom, look, if you want to edit a photo to the max, you use something like Photoshop. If you want to edit a great photo, you use Lightroom. But the real power in Lightroom comes in its ability to organize dozens, hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of images with ease. That means that it grows with you. And as somebody who will take 4,000 images at a wedding, shoot 20 weddings a year, I take a lot of weddings. I mean, I take a lot of photos. I take a lot of photos. Being able to find the exact one that I want at a moment's notice is a godsend. And Lightroom lets me do that. I cannot tell you how many times I thought of I was creating an ad on Facebook or it was, you know, National Cake Day, you know, whatever it was. And I thought to myself, oh, I know the perfect photo here. Now I have to find it. Imagine sifting through, you know, 60, 70, 80,000 images that you shoot per year, thinking of a photo that was like 4 years back. Lightroom makes it so, so, so easy to keep all of your shoots organized. Here's the trick. I keep my photos organized this way. I keep them organized first, mostly in folders. I keep them organized by the type of shoot. So there's four folders. There's weddings, engagements, portraits, and then other. So sometimes like a personal thing that I'm working on or whatever. And then within each one of those folders is a year, right? From, 10 years ago till today, right? 2020. And then when I click on each year, it is then broken down by the date next to the client's name so that it's all in order. That way, I always know where my photos are. There's no more hunting through folder after folder on my computer looking. It's all within Lightroom. I cannot tell you how many cakes I know of as a photographer, but cannot remember the couple's name. I know that sounds weird, but I know the couple. I know their names, but I don't connect the cake to the couple. So if I'm thinking of a cake, I'm thinking, oh man, I remember that cake. I remember, that was in that was the year that the Dodgers went to the World Series and then the Astros cheated them out. So, okay, 2017. Okay, got to go back to 2017. And then I can go and I can find it easily. Lightroom allows me to do this. You could not do this with simple file, organizing all your files on your computer. And on top of all this, listen to this. This is a pro tip right here if you've ever heard one. If you want to... Okay, here, I'm just going to get into it. I also use Smart Collections within Lightroom. Smart Collections. Get this. Smart Collections will automatically add photos to a collection based on how you organize the photo. So, for all of my best of best weddings, I give it a red color label and I give that thing 5 stars. Automatically, there is a Smart Collection that looks for photos with a red color label and 5 stars, and it brings it on in there, which means I have a folder of my best of best, leaving me to always have photos that I love at a moment's notice ready to post on social media. I never, ever, ever have to wonder, what am I going to post on Instagram? What am I going to post on Facebook today? Social media is so important to a photographer and booking more shoots, and then just staying relevant, right? There's a lot of photographers out there who are listening right now. You're listening right now. Maybe you don't have a business, but you know the importance of social media for your photography. Being found, growing your work. Imagine the power of always having perfectly curated images ready to go. Moment's notice. Only your best of the best. So much time. So, you may be thinking right now. In fact, no, hold on. I got another story for you. I'm really excited for this one because learning Lightroom does not require you to already be a master with your camera. Being a master of your camera is not a prerequisite for hitting that purchase button to sign up for Lightroom, right? There's no box to check. They don't care if you, quote unquote, know how to master your camera. They don't. Now, if you're a longtime listener of the podcast, that always sounds so weird to say. If you are a longtime listener, you remember that I interviewed Ryan Branizer back in episode 96. Now, if you don't know the name, Ryan has been stitching photos together to create something really unique. So here he was, stitching photos together to create a panorama. Lots of photos together to make one giant photo. And he thought to himself, wait a second, why can't I add my wedding couples to these photos? This doesn't just have to be mountains and stuff like that. And when he did add his couple to one of these photos, he created something that is so special that he now has a method named after him called the Branizer method. And it has earned him critical acclaim. What this means is that learning his editing program made him think of how he could shoot differently in the real world to create something new, to create something different. Learning editing made him a better photographer. Now, if you are still thinking, okay, well, I like my photos to have a natural look. I want my photos to look natural. I don't want my photos to look over-edited, crazy saturation. I want my photos to look natural. Everybody does. Editing does not take that away. Remember, if photographers like Sue Bryce, Jerry Guiones, Annie Leibovitz, even Vanessa Joy, right? They are editing their photos. It is not to manipulate their photos. It is to accentuate what was already there. And for them to show you how they see the world natural to them. Some people like Canon. Some people like Nikon. It doesn't mean that one is better than the other. How you see the world is different than how somebody else sees the world. Editing gives you the ability to show the world how you see the world. Now, I want to let you in on a little secret real quick. By this point, you know that Adobe Lightroom is already the industry standard when it comes to digital photo management and editing. Now, while many photographers use Lightroom, there are just as many who still get Lightroom all wrong. All wrong. And the main reason is simply because while the barrier to entry to get Lightroom is low, right? Anybody can buy it. There's no box to check to prove that you are a professional and know what you're doing. It's the barrier to effective execution, which is high. And I get it. It's a robust program. There's a lot to learn. But as long as you can avoid the biggest mistakes that sink most would-be photographers, then that path is paved for you to master Lightroom, I promise. It will allow you to achieve higher artistic quality, more time freedom by being able to speed up your edits, the ability to make an impact on those who view your work, and make an impact on your photography business if that's what you're trying to grow. The key to all of this is simply having a rock solid, flexible, step-by-step Lightroom workflow. So with your permission, that's exactly what I would love to show you how to create in my newest course, Lightroom 101. Listen, I've been where you are. I have been so frustrated with Lightroom that I told myself, I'm not cut out to be a photographer. I've been there. I get it. But I persisted. And I have taken, at this point, everything that I have learned about Lightroom over the last 10 years, over the last 100 weddings, over the last, I was going to try to do the math, countless engagement sessions that took me from taking a month to edit a wedding to now delivering a wedding before a couple gets back from their honeymoon. I've channeled everything that I've learned into a comprehensive, step-by-step implementation program that not only teaches you high-level editing theory, which you need, but also the actual execution so that you can do the same. I created Lightroom 101 with rapid implementation in mind because I understand having a busy work and personal life. I get that. I didn't want to spend a month editing. I have a kid. I like hanging out with my kid. Kids now. I have a wife. I like hanging out with my wife. I didn't want to be stuck behind a computer editing all day. And in fact, the most recent, in fact, this survey just came out the other day. I'm going to link this in the show notes. According to yourperfectweddingphotographer.co.uk, the average wedding photographer spends 14 hours just editing, just moving sliders, and then another 3 hours culling, picking out the photos that they're going to edit, making up a total of 66% of their time of a wedding. And how much of that time is actually shooting? They said on average, 4%. 66% of their time is spent editing, 4% of their time is shooting. I get that. I have been there. And that is why I created Lightroom 101 with this rapid implementation process in mind. Because I want you to learn, I want you to do, and then I want you to implement. I take you from import to export with a focus on organization and efficiency. And when you're done with the course, you will finally have a step-by-step process for how to master Lightroom. That is invaluable. On top of that, as if it wasn't enough, I created 6 really special bonuses just for you. You want to hear them? You want to hear these 6 bonuses? I think they're pretty great stuff. Bonus number 1 is how to edit a wedding in a day workshop. So when you have 4,000 images from a wedding to go through, and then you need to edit 1,000, speed is the name of the game. And you need a plan to go through all of those images with consistency and beauty so that you can keep shooting. You don't want to spend 66% of your time editing. Bonus number 2 is lightning fast Lightroom performance. Now, Lightroom doesn't seem to care. Here's the thing about Lightroom. It does not seem to care how fast your computer is. It simply cares how you tell it to behave through its labyrinth of settings and options. And I'm going to walk you through that for peak performance, no matter what your computer is. No matter if you have the fastest computer on the market, 19 cores, 7 gigahertz, right? Like all these things, 100 gigabytes of RAM. It doesn't matter about any of that. It's all about the settings that you tell Lightroom how to perform. Bonus number 3 that you're going to get is bulletproof photo backups. As a photographer, your photos are literally all that you have. And keeping those photos safe for years to come is critical for your success. So I'm going to show you a backup photo strategy that is bulletproof that will withstand hard drive failures. Several options, from free to, you know, pretty expensive stuff. Very flexible. So bonus number 4 is how to make beautiful books within Lightroom. So even if you are just shooting your child's birthday, you can create a beautiful book of that. If you're photographing your family vacation, you can create a beautiful photo book of that. And even you can create wedding albums, all within Lightroom. I'm going to show you how to do that super quick so that you can get those out, so that you can continue to tell your story the way that you want to tell your story. Bonus number 5 is edit on the go with Lightroom CC. Lightroom CC has changed almost everything for me. It is the mobile version of Lightroom. I'm going to show you how you can make a daily habit of shooting and editing without firing up your computer, and that it automatically syncs to your desktop so that when you get home from vacation with all of your photos, guess what? They are already going to be on your computer, organized and edited wherever they belong. It is, like I said, a game changer for me and my photography. And then bonus number 6 is the live Lightroom laboratory. So what that means is I'm going to let you join all the other students within Lightroom 101 in a Facebook group where for 4 weeks it is going to be open for you to ask questions. I'm going to be answering all your questions and doing Facebook lives, editing your photos, editing my photos, and we are going to go through together to learn even more and take your skills to that next level. So that is it for the bonuses. Lots of really great stuff. And together, let me tell you, together, those bonuses add up to a total value of $529. That's a lot of bonuses. Now, the cart opens today, and you can get all of this, all of those bonuses, and Lightroom 101, of course, for just $147. Like I said, the cart opens today. And it will close on Thursday, March 5th. Now, there's a link in the show notes to learn more and enroll. And then there's also going to be a link right on the homepage at beginnerphotographypodcast.com where you can click the education link at the top of the page. Now, I know that I just gave you a lot of information, so let me say this up front. Okay, Lightroom 101 is something that I am proud to share with you all who are struggling with Lightroom. Because I've been there, I know that pain. If you don't feel totally confident with your edits, or you feel like you don't have everything that you need to import, organize, and edit your photos, at the guidance of this course, I'm gonna give you your full investment back within 30 days. If you're not happy, you have 30 days to try this thing out, learn as much as you can about Lightroom, and if it still doesn't make any sense, I'm going to give you your investment back. It's that easy. So if you are just getting started in photography, if you've been trying to learn Lightroom for months or years, and you know that photography is still going to play a major role in your life in 2021, 2022, and beyond, then Lightroom 101 is the course for you. And I would love to see you inside. So sign up by clicking the link in the show notes or heading over to learn.beginnerphotographypodcast.com right now. So that is it for this week. Thank you all for joining me today. I appreciate you. I value your time. Until next week, I want you to go out. I want you to make more. I want you to do more, and I want you to make do with the gear that you got, because I promise you, it's better than you think. All right, see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Beginner Photography Podcast. If you enjoy the show, consider leaving a review in iTunes. Keep shooting, and we'll see you next week.